Hello, good afternoon. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and this is Art Speak Radio. Yay! We love that you've tuned in or listening to us online. Lots of stuff going on today. First of all, it's our 2017 Fall Pledge Drive, and we're so happy to, you know, to have you reach out and help support community radio. In the studio today, we have Randy Cohen, Pablo Sanhueza, Erica Lynette Baker, Holly Maj, and we also have someone on the phone from the International Sculpture Conference that we'll be talking to, thank you, honey, at the middle of the hour. But right now, we have the beautifully talented, wonderful Bill Sundahl, who's our development director. And if I can quote his wife, he says, "What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man." So welcome, Bill.
She hasn't said that in years.
So tell us, what's happening, Bill?
Right now, I'm just hitting start on a five-minute timer because I know you have a busy show. We don't want to take up too much of your listeners' time. But Mark Andrus has thrown down a champions match for our listeners and supporters of KKFI. So he has laid a $100 bill on the table in front of us. And if we can stack another $100 on top of that, then we'll be able to pick it all up, put it in the bank.
That'd be terrific because I'll be at near my goal, right?
Yeah.
For Art Speak Radio.
I forget the exact goal. It's right over there on your board.
Yeah, I see. I'm not looking.
$9,000 for this hour. That's our. So, we're happy for all the community support we get. And so that number to dial is 888-931-0901. Or you can go online to kkfi.org, find the donate button. And it's an easy way, mobile-friendly page to take care of it on any device you happen to have.
You know, as I was telling our guests in the green room, that KKFI Community Radio, we are the megaphone for the community, right?
That's right. A megaphone for the voiceless is how I like to put it, because it really distills our mission statement, which is, it's a long paragraph, but it essentially says we are here to share information and educational programming and news and music that you would not get anywhere else. Specifically, that you wouldn't find anywhere else. So we try to fill those gaps in the community that need help getting the word out. Obviously, arts organizations fall right into that. Authors, the programming you do week in and week out is a testament to our mission every single Wednesday from noon to one.
So. And it's a testament to this community because we are giving voice to community members who are spoken word poets, musicians, performers, playwrights and that.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah.
And you can support that type of programming if it's of value to you at 888-931-0901. And we only have 3 minutes and 5 seconds left in this match. So let's light up those phone lines. And if for some reason it's busy or they get all tied up, it just rolls over to my desk. Leave a quick message. I'll call you right back, or just try back in a few minutes. So it does tend to get busy during these matches. So again, thanks to Mark Andrus for supporting
you,
us,
Mark,
in so many ways. Mark is a tireless volunteer here at KKFI,
and he also
is
a co-host of one of the programs.
He does a couple. He's on Fool Killer Folk. He does the
Classical Challenge.
Thank you later on tonight. We're happy to have folks like Mark in our community, and we're very happy to have you in our community. If you're listening to KKFI right now and you're listening to my voice, it's because you care about your town. It's about your community. I mean, we're an 80-mile radius, so it's not just Kansas City. We tend to say Kansas City because that's part of our call sign, but we really, Lawrence, Topeka, St. Joe, Clinton, down to the south. I think we reach almost to Nevada. So if you're hearing my voice, it could be the way you find out about events and information that are going on in the community around here.
Opportunities,
and right in your
community. Yeah.
I mean, through the PSAs we run about, legal fund education.
Food banks.
All
donating
kinds of stuff.
Cards.
We exist to serve the community, but we have to. Our model is that we need support from the community. Over 80% of our donations come directly from you. So we can't rely on any other support but yours on a long-term basis. So,
and we've been going strong for almost 30 years. 30 years
that's
next
right.
year, so
that's
we do
exactly
need your
right.
help.
888-931-0901 or kkfi.org/donate is the easy way to do it online. We're monitoring those donations during this match as well. 1 minute and 18 seconds left in this match.
Come on, you got to call. 888-931-0901.
Yeah, just make the difference and be that kind of person who doesn't let someone else carry your water for you all the time. So, there's, no, I mean, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but there's a lot of, I know I guarantee you there's someone listening right now who's thought about donating and just hasn't made that move to do it. But right now your voice would be amplified by Mark Andrus, and your donation will be doubled at 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org. It really is like I said, if you're listening to my voice, it's because you value KKFI.
Come on, pony up, folks.
So yeah, and we exist to, oh, all right, we have a donor right here already. Sweet. That's in for $20. So
we love that.
That's right. So we're ready to, we just need another $80. And it really does take that community support to keep this place going. So 888-931-0901 is a great way to support community radio and to support the programming you love and that you've come to enjoy and really rely on to find out what's going on. There are a lot of places that will play you sound bites and, you know, regurgitate information that they got in an email or downloaded from some national site. Yeah, we're programmed right here in this
24/7.
There goes the timer. Bell. So call right now to get under the wire, 888-931-0901. So you're already a member of this community. Help support community radio and keep that information and music coming your way. All day, every day. Thank you, Maria, for everything you do.
Oh, thank you.
Not just at KKFI. You're a wonderful person to have in your community no matter what you're doing.
Bless your heart. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill Sundahl, our development director. We've got this fall pledge going on all week, and 888-931-0901 is the number. Next, I want to introduce Randy Cohen, who's the Vice President of Research and Policy for Americans for the Arts. Now, Americans for the Arts serves, advances, and leads the network of organizations and individuals who cultivate, promote, sustain, and support the arts in America. Now, they were founded in 1960. The Americans for the Arts is the nation's leading nonprofit organization for advancing the arts and arts education. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's a flurry of activity, isn't
it? I know. I love community radio.
Oh,
my community has one, and support it, volunteer. You know, it's one of the great gifts for our communities.
It really is.
Especially as radio just becomes so higher and higher altitude and so corporate. And, you know, here's what's happening in the community. So thanks for the great work you do.
And
for so long, too. It's been great for the community.
Yeah, thank you. I want to, let's talk about Americans for the Arts. They just released the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, number 5, mm-hmm. That included data for the Greater Kansas City metropolitan area.
Yes. Well, this is a whole different way to look at the arts. You know, I'm uh-huh. looking at all the other fabulous guests in the studio today who, you know, are the makers of the arts and the, you know, the poets and the, you know, the theater and the musicians. And, you know, we all love the arts. They inspire us and they create the communities that we want to live in and work in, and they bring us joy. And they also, turns out, are good for the economy.
Yes.
And so this is, you know, a study that kind of takes people by surprise, mm-hmm. right? Well, I didn't mm-hmm. really think about the mm-hmm. arts that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found, so we did a big national study looking at how spending by nonprofit arts and culture organizations, so right here, KKFI, mm-hmm. But you know, the theater, the ballet, our arts education organizations, you know, a lot of our neighborhood community-based cultural organizations, their spending... they're businesses. And, right. you know, we think of these great community amenities, but the fact is they employ people, they purchase goods and services in the community. I'm sure you all have a big old utility bill here with all of them surrounded by, you know, high-powered electronics.
100,000 watts.
Yeah. So, you know, arts organizations are businesses, mm-hmm. and yeah. that's got an impact on the community. But not only that, you know, think of the last time you went out to an arts event. You know, maybe you had dinner first and go out for dessert or drinks afterwards, and if you have little ones at home, double the cost of the evening on babysitting. Mm-hmm. So lots of economic activity related to that arts event. And so the arts generate a lot of that as well. And that kind of separates the arts mm-hmm. a bit. So in this survey we did, and again, it's part of a national research study, but right here in the KC area, it's a $276 million industry that it supports 8,970 jobs and generates $24.6 million in revenue to local and state government.
That's stunning. I mean, those are stunning numbers, right?
Yeah, it's always much bigger than anybody expects. Yeah. And again, you know, because we, and here's the other surprising thing that we learn in the research. You know, you think of, you know, the ballets doing Romeo and Juliet this week. Well, okay, you think of an arts organization. Well, they got the dancers and, okay, the symphony's playing, so you got the musicians. But if the arts organizations employ plumbers and electricians and auditors and accountants and support these jobs throughout the community. When you get your program to an arts event, well, there's a writer in the community that's being paid to write that, and a graphic designer and a printer. So all that economic activity, it just cuts all across the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes people are inclined to think about the arts as, well, you know, sort of this black hole of goodness, right? We support the arts and it's good. But the fact is, you know, you're getting economic and cultural benefits. You know, when you talk to your legislators, and we try to get city funding for the arts and, you know, county government and the state to fund the arts, it shows that it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. You know, the arts aren't just getting some free ride. It's an investment that's returning economically to the community.
Well, and I can say, I pulled this off of your website. It says, in fact, communities are investing in an industry that supports jobs, generates government revenue, and is the cornerstone of tourism. And that's really impressive.
Yeah.
It really
is. You know, and what's fascinating is if you look, you know, at the region, you know, thousands and thousands of attendees are coming from outside the area to attend the arts events here.
Right.
You know, so it's a total tourism draw. Interestingly, the average attendee to an arts event, whether, you know, wherever you're from, spends about a little $25.13 to be exact.
It's all broken down here.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And then, but those folks that come from outside of town, they spend $45.24. Mm-hmm. So if you're a restaurateur, if you the city owns a parking garage, you love this, you know, because people are coming to town and they're going and they're you know, they're coming to our festivals. And they're listening to our music. And so it really, it makes a, you know, makes this area a great destination.
The arts mean business.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It is. And it's not an intuitive way to think about the arts. And, and that's just one of the benefits. And really what we're talking about is, you know, this vibrant arts community, and this is a great arts community. I got to tell you, I travel to, you know, at least 40 cities a year, and there is so much here to be proud of.
Yes,
you know, you got
absolutely.
Your, and all kinds of arts, big institutions,
there's
small
room for
ones.
Everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And in fact, you know, a lot of the vitality in the arts, you know, nationally is these smaller neighborhood arts organizations, our culturally, our ethnically specific arts organizations. You know, that's where so much of the vitality is. And that brings people to the community as well. And then we're also seeing, you know, in addition to that, when the arts are part of a young person's education, they're performing better academically, you know, better grades, lower dropout rates.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't this what we all want as parents?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am talking to Randy Cohen, the Vice President of Research and Policy for Americans for the Arts, that serves, advances, and leads the network of organizations and individuals who cultivate, promote, sustain, and support the arts in America. Their website is AmericansForTheArts.org, where you can find out more information about so many studies and so many programs that they have, reports, data, networks, services, all of that on their website. So this was just released. This study was just released in June, right?
Yes. So it's very new information. And again, it was, you know, we studied 341 communities across the country. And the research here, it's very locally based. We surveyed 309 organizations and heard back from 133 of them. Mm-hmm. That's what we go with. We only use data from the organizations that provide it. And it's really powerful. It gets the attention of business leaders, of government leaders, and it's fuel for the arts community. When you're trying to advocate, you know, for more support for the arts and help people understand, you know, what are the benefits to a community? And, you know, I sympathize with people and, you know, these, you know, our elected leaders trying to figure out how to, you know, build healthier communities and make these strategic investments. The arts provide cultural and economic benefits to the community. And, you know, it creates livability. It attracts our, you know, people want to come here to work and live. So there's, again, it's a different way to think about the arts, and it's a fabulous story. Locally, right here, we work with Arts KC and their website.
I'm glad you reminded yeah. that. ArtsKC.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ArtsKC.org. And you'll see the local report there as well. And, you know, they've got the full report and the one-pager and all kinds of great highlights about the study. And, you know, it's also one of the fabulous things about this community as well is we asked all those arts organizations about volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I know, here we are. Yeah. We're surrounded by, you know, fabulous core yeah. of volunteers. Yeah. Yeah. Just those 133 organizations, and again, KKFI, part of that universe, 11,505 volunteers that contributed 522,000 hours. Last year.
That's amazing.
That is incredible.
Amazing.
And it's just evidence of, you know, what it takes to keep this community culturally vibrant. And this is people voting with their feet and their time saying, yes, arts, culture, media, it's important to me.
I love this. Well, for more information, Americans for the Arts. org is where you'll find this the results of this study. It puts to rest a misconception that communities support arts and culture at the expense of local economic development. So take a look at that. I want to thank Randy Cohen, Vice President of Research and Policy for Americans for the Arts, for coming in today and talking to us and sharing all this wonderful news, this wonderful research.
It's a great story. Thanks for having me here, Maria.
You bet. Okay, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And we're back. This is ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your day. We have a couple of people to thank, and from the bottom of my little old heart, I really truly appreciate the matching donations. We've got Randy to thank, and Susan, thank you so much for helping us get this goal for our 2017 fall pledge. It really makes a difference. You matter. So thank you so much. And for other people who are considering calling, call us at 888-931-0901. If you don't have a phone available, you can always make a pledge online at kkfi.org. Next up, we've got Pablo Sanhueza, who is a musician, local musician, Latin musician here, and he's going to talk about a performance at Prosperos that's happening Saturday, October 21st, 100 Years of Violeta Parra, Cantos de Amor y Resistencia, a tribute to Violeta Parra. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much, Maria, for inviting me once again.
Oh, you bet. Because such a pleasure. We love having you. You have such a great energy and you're a terrific performer. So let's tell us about what's happening that night.
We, with the support of Prosperos and the musicians in the Kansas City Latin Jazz All-Stars, we planned earlier this year a tribute concert to honor the centennial of Violeta Parra, mm-hmm. a Chilean-born singer-songwriter and multidisciplinary artist who in the 50s and 60s challenged many barriers that most women in the arts still face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was the first Latin American artist to expose at the Louvre in France. She was also the first international recording folk artist from Chile, recorded in Argentina, and Chile and Argentina got the contracts, did the research, mm-hmm. what we call today ethnomusicology. She mm-hmm. was an mm-hmm. before this discipline actually existed, she was doing this work compiling folk stories, folk tales, and music from the peasants in Chile. Music that was totally unknown in the 50s. And in that way, we owe to that work a musical identity. Mm-hmm. In a way, we're all sons and daughters of Violeta Parra.
I understand she's the mother of Latin American folk, right?
Yes, she's considered by most very, very well known for her international research. Her concern in the 50s as a woman who took on all by herself the elaboration of a monumental research to provide a source of identity to the Chilean working class, who at the time was being the entire mainstream culture was looking to France, to Europe at the time as a model, and overlooking the traditional music and cultures of the people from Chile, which is people mainly who have a heritage of American Indian Mapuche people from Chile and the immigration and the colony, the colonization period. So, in a sense, her work was so advanced for her time that we still fall short to the implications of this work. And we found out that Violeta is very unknown in the United States. She's very well known in Latin America and Europe, where she developed her work, but other than in the coasts, where most of this South American and Chilean populations exist, is quite unknown, and that we have looked in the past, there has never been a tribute to Violeta Parra. And this will be the first time we do it in Kansas City. It's a community-run event. Yeah. It's a grassroots. We've been having rehearsals. We have musicians from different walks of life, different ethnic and cultural origins, and we have gathered to pay this tribute to her through her music.
And that's beautiful, because as the folk traditions blossomed into this movement, it celebrated the fight for social justice throughout Latin America. So you will be performing that night and actually be celebrating the 100th birthday,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And who will be with you that evening on Saturday, October 21st?
We have some of the musicians from the Kansas City Latin Jazz All-Stars. We have on keyboard and guitar Mr. Trevor Smith. We have on percussion, a percussion set, Mr. Evan Hoffman. On vocals, we have Miss Kemri Ivory.
Beautiful.
So,
yeah,
a very well-known local singer. And on bass and percussion and backup vocals, it's going to be myself, Pablo.
Terrific.
And then we have a couple surprise guests that haven't been confirmed. But
yes, I'll sing for you.
Yeah. We hope to see you there, Maria. Stop by for a second.
Well, and it is at Prospero's Books at 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
And for more information, I believe you can, the Prospero's bookstore website would have some more information, or yes. I believe Facebook is a good source.
Through
right?
Facebook, yeah. through the event page that we have on Facebook, mm-hmm. is called Violeta Parra, 100 Years, Songs of Love and Resistance, Canto de Amor y Resistencia.
You know, I was listening to her music just this past week, and I thought it is very relevant in today's world. You know, there's unfortunately very little change, but it's a beautiful, her music, her lyrics are really beautiful, so it's going to be a wonderful celebration of her work and her fight for social justice. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this music, in artistic terms, as in poetic terms, is still relevant. Mm-hmm. The universality that she aimed for has been proven timeless and very effective. There is so much that I didn't know about Violeta before putting this event together.
Yeah.
Every day we find new facts that are so relevant, so important. Everything from how she made the records and the constant struggle against the elements. She never had any support.
Yeah. Well, and I can also say that, as you mentioned, she explored the visual arts, created oil paintings, wire sculptures, ceramics, burlap tapestries, and all that. So she's had an interesting and formidable life in the world of arts.
Yeah.
So that seems like a fitting benefit for her 100th birthday.
Yeah, 100 years.
Yeah.
This year, this 2017 is the year of very important centennials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
100 years of Thelonious Monk. Yesterday we celebrated
the
100th anniversary of one of jazz greatest composers of all times, Thelonious Monk. So many other 100 years, jazz itself has been. Scholars have agreed to give jazz its 100th anniversary this year too. It's hard to pinpoint where it started, but in the world of scholars have decided this is also 100 years of jazz. So this important centennials 2017. We wanted to bring artists that were lesser known and they're important for the Kansas City community to be aware of.
We thank you for that.
Thank you so
Pablo
much.
Pablo Zenweiser, you are very active in the community. Saturday, October 21st, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Prospero's Books, 1800 West 39th Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. For information, Facebook will have everything that you need to know about tickets and food and all of that. So, yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you here in the studio. And hopefully we'll get you on for the band auction. What do you think about that?
Yes, we talked to Bill, and we will bring the full orchestra for the auction, for sure.
Very good. I saw him twist your arm. I hope it didn't hurt much.
You don't have to twist my arm. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. See you at the tribute to Violeta Parra at Prospero's Bookstore on West 39th Street.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you
we're
so
going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And this is Maria Vasquez Boyd live on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio. We're in the middle of our 2017 Fall Pledge Drive. So please be generous. 888-931-0901 is the number to call, or kkfi.org online if you would rather pledge that way. So